You're listening to CKGI Gabriola Co-op Radio 98.7 FM and on the web at ckgi.ca. And this is the Farmer's Table. I'm Alexandria Stewart.
And I'm Sean Enns.
And today we're exploring the world of farmers markets. First, we'll talk with farmers and market managers about the current state of and future outlook for markets in the Mid-Vancouver Island area. Then, it's a visit with Farmship Growers Cooperative, a for-profit venture backed by four forward-thinking farmers who each bring unique skills and experience to the land they work together. Market season is approaching, so we'll look at some opening dates for regional markets, and then close the show with The Last Word, our own thoughts on farmers' markets in the region. Farmers' markets are an important, thriving sector of our economy, a $170 million a year sector. According to a recent study by the BC Association of Farmers Markets and the University of Northern British Columbia, the total economic benefits of farmers markets jumped by 147% between 2006 and 2012. During that time, the number of markets in BC grew by 62%. Of shoppers, about a third visit markets weekly, and when they do, they're spending 23% more. With this loyal customer base, farmers and vendors are finding the stability that they need to prosper. Isabel Morris, president of the Cedar Market Agricultural Society, has seen it firsthand at their market.
The Cedar Farmers Market has grown substantially in the last 10 years. It's been in operation for 16 years. And it started with 10 or 15 vendors, and we're up to 80 vendors at some times in the season. So there's more vendors coming, but there's also a lot more visitors coming. So yes, the demand for farmers market product has increased substantially, and the sales, it reflects in the sales of the farmers and the vendors as well.
The visitors' faces are changing.
There's always been the food enthusiast and the local food enthusiast. There's more of them, for sure. I notice they are quite young. A lot of those new food enthusiasts are in their 20s. They're food activists.
Fresh local food isn't the only thing that draws people to the Cedar Market.
At the Cedar Farmers Market, what's been very important in the past, and we're trying to push that still forward, is the pastoral setting. It's a very nice open-air country setting, and we think that's our advantage to any other markets that are in a street or things like that. We also offer a very diverse offering of products. With 70 vendors, we can offer just about anything. You can do a full groceries at the market. You'll find just about everything you need there.
Craig Evans of the Farmship Growers Cooperative also sees firsthand the growth at the markets he sells at.
I would say that the rise, there's been a great increase in both number of markets and the number of farmers at the markets. And that really points to the rise in consumers that local is better. And so I think the message that many people have been preaching over the last few years is finally hitting home. And so people do want to support their local growers. And you won't find a lot of the local produce in our supermarkets. And so if we go to the supermarket and look around and ask, okay, what was grown here? It's only the extremely large players, mostly chemical agriculture, that you'll find in the supermarkets. And this highlights one of their problems, is that they're not really receptive to marketing produce from smaller growers. They want large contracts, they want cheap prices, they're used to making doubling their money on what they purchase or more. So farmers markets are the best way for a small local organic growers to get their material to market.
In Nanaimo, the Island Roots Market Cooperative is working on opening a year-round farmers market in the townsite area. President Larry Whaley told us that its roots were, in fact, organic.
Well, the concept originally came out of an Occupy Nanaimo meeting where There was a discussion about what people wanted to do with their lives, and a fairly significant number of the people there indicated that they wanted to farm. And from that, it followed that, well, if you're going to farm, what are you going to do with the product, and how are you going to make a living? And you can't live 6 or 8 months a year, and you've got to live all 12. So from there, it just became an obvious step that Nanaimo needs a year-round indoor market for farmers and for artisans. You know, you can't just, not just farmers, because you have to have a place for other people that are starting up and want to get their products in front of people as well.
One of the challenges at a farmer's market is pricing.
So vendors are basically free to price their product to what they think is fair for them. We do strongly encourage them, though, to factor in their cost of production, because it gets difficult for people that are making a living at this to actually make a living, as opposed to, we talk as a farmer, as opposed to a house gardener, for example, who would come for a few markets and could sell at a very low price if they want to. So we do encourage them to not price below what it could be at a grocery store, for example.
You know, you have to encourage, I think we need to encourage the variety, first of all, and then we need to encourage people to accept the fact that everybody has to make a living, but it's not up to us to tell people what their prices should be.
You know, one of the pieces also fairness in terms to farmers, and farmers are actually subsidizing everyone else's income, because we're not charging what it actually costs to produce the food. And which is also the reason why you see people who come into farming realize economically they hit a wall, and then they leave agriculture because it isn't economically sustainable for over the long term. So I think as a culture, understanding that we aren't actually spending a lot of our discretionary income on food, and maybe that's something that we should consider to change.
I think there's a percentage of the population that understands the dynamic of how, where food's coming from and who's producing the food that is sustainable, and they're willing to spend. If it's a percentage more, it could be up to 50% more, but there's value there, and we're investing in the future of farming on Vancouver Island.
The farmer's market experience is about more than filling your bag with food, though.
One thing I like about farmer's markets is when you go to a farmer's market, you're buying from someone who is your personal grower. And so if you go to a supermarket and you see all the different choices you have, you might wonder, what do I do with this? What, you know, why would I want this vegetable? But when you go to a farmer's market and there's someone standing in front of their product, you can ask those questions, and then you'll get a wide variety of answers. You'll get favorite recipes. You'll get how to balance it with other crops and generate meals, what to do with leftovers. And so it's that personalized service when it comes to food. And so we find at the farmers markets we're always asked, what on earth do I do with like celeriac? You know, how come you guys are always selling kale? What? And then as growers as well, we learn. You know, people come and tell us, you know, this is what I do with tomatillos. This is how I like my ground cherries prepared. You know, and well, how come you guys aren't growing, and they'll name something we've never heard of that we have to look up and wonder, why aren't we growing this? Here's another market, you know, these strange Armenian cucumbers. You know, that's okay, that sounds great. We'd like to give that a try. And so a farmer's market is kind of like having your own personal grower and a nutritionist and a little bit of a doctor and sometimes a psychiatrist at the same time when you're talking about food issues and how to feed the family affordably and that sort of thing. And I think at heart, that's why people come to farmers markets. They want to establish a relationship with an individual who is working the earth and growing the food that then I'm taking home to my family.
BC Farmers Market Association President John Bell is optimistic about the future of farmers markets.
I think one of the biggest challenges we have at farmers markets is lack of farmers. We have a lot of people getting in, but they tend to be restricted in the sense of undercapitalized, maybe lacking in skills as far as growing food and marketing. But we're trying to address that. We're trying to encourage people to take our webinars and our sessions and get our information from the BCAFN site that will assist them in becoming good farmers and going to market. What we see in the future is more, again, young farmers getting involved, but increasing sales in things like liquor sales, wine, beer, distilled products. But also, I think we're going to see a... I'm trying to think of the best way to describe this, more as sort of a concentration or redistribution of farmers at markets. Some markets are obviously better, closer to urban centers. So we're getting a shift in markets. Some are increasing, some are decreasing. So we're getting all over the map. Because the farmers markets is so new for a lot of people in this area of the world. So we're getting a sort of a redistribution of markets. Where are we going in the next 5 years? Well, hopefully we're going to have more customers, we're going to have more farmers, we're going to have more products. Will we have more markets? I don't know. Have we reached saturation? We don't know yet. We have over 125 markets within BC already. How many more? I don't know. But certainly we're having lots of consumer support. People are now coming to the farmers markets. They're looking for that experience of buying local, being able to talk to the grower. And I frequently describe the farm vendor at a farmer's market as the face of agriculture in Canada. And we are the ones that, because we're growing the food, we know how it's produced, and not only the variety and how it's been treated, but we can answer the questions that the consumers have. So see a much greater involvement between, or a link, if you will, a link between the customer and the vendor, and bridging that information gap.
You're listening to The Farmer's Table on CKGI Gabriola Co-op Radio, 98.7 FM, and on the web at ckgi.ca. And now for our profile segment, where we get to know local farmers and food producers. Craig Evans, Isabel Morris, Jennifer Cody, and Chris Brown make up the Farmship Growers Cooperative. We gathered to talk about their unique approach to cooperative farming that's made a big impression on the local food movement. Craig started by sharing the story of his journey into agriculture.
So our cooperative that we formed last year is called the Farmship Growers Co-op. And so it's a co-op of four different growers and one nonprofit cooperative that have joined forces together. And we're all about just giving people that chance to grow, to learn to be growers and to work together as growers. So I grew up on a farm in Ontario, and I think I came out west to get as far away from the farm as I could. And it didn't take long before I realized how much I missed the farm and working on a farm. And so over time, I realized that's where I really would prefer to be, is to be doing agricultural work. So I studied at Malaspina College and took the two-year horticultural program back there in the mid-80s. And so I realized right away I wanted to be an organic grower. And then after graduation, established the Nanaimo Community Gardens and ran those for a number of years, moved on to market manager at Providence Farm down in Duncan. And we started doing community agriculture at Providence, and we moved up to this area. And so, and then now we've been farming at Isabel's. This will be our third summer farming at the Farmship location.
Isabel also came from a farming background.
I graduated, I have a bachelor degree in biology. I was supposed to go into agriculture. I was supposed to do bioagronomy at university. And I went and studied marine biology instead. So I kind of diverted, but it quickly came back to me that I was going to have to go back into agriculture at some point. I did a master's degree in environmental education, and the topic of my master's was studying the organic consumers. So who they are, what are they looking for, and how do we bring on more people onto growing organic and also consumers as well. So I've been growing for 8 years now at Windlow Farms, and with different arrangements and different partnerships, and Farmship started last year, and it seems like it's a good working relationship right now for our family, but also for the friends and partners we have right now. Seems like it's working really well.
Jen took a slightly different route.
And my background is as a registered dietitian. And so I came into sort of the food movement as a educator and as a person who's working in the community with people who have concerns around access to food, and became involved with agriculture as a means to create a more sustainable food system and work with people who are low income and have trouble with accessing healthy, nutritious food. And through that, I became more and more involved with agriculture and teamed up with Craig in terms of growing opportunities. And we were farming in Providence for 4 years, and now we've been farming 2 years here in the Yellow Point area as a partnership with Windhoek Farms and with Farmship.
And Chris, who we reached later by phone, came in via another path altogether.
So I studied at VIU and studied anthropology in the anthropology department, and my academic interest was the fate of human societies. And it really all comes down to agriculture. You know, civilization is a product of agriculture, so I was fascinated with the rise of civilizations, and so that's how I became interested in agriculture. And it was plugged into some of the local agriculture community and saw how it worked. I graduated university and got a job with Wild Play and worked that job for 3 years, quit it, and then found a farm in the Cowichan Valley that was dormant, but it was all there ready to go. And so I approached the landlord and ended up renting the space to do a market garden. And I did that for 1 year. It was called the ReFarm. And nearing the end of that project, I realized there was no long-term availability to farm there. So I started seeking out for other places to farm, and I met Isabel at the Cedar Farmers Market, and then met Craig on the farm shortly after that. And then we started sharing this dream, this vision, and worked together and met, and I moved all my stuff from Cowichan to the Yellow Point Farm. And then this time, last year, we incorporated the co-op. So Farmship is a year old at the end of March.
Farmship's founders realized their vision by bringing different programs together under a unique co-op structure.
And it's so Farmship Growers Cooperative is a for-profit cooperative. And so the idea of that is the platform on which we do production market gardening. And we work in cooperatively with another cooperative. It's called Growing Opportunities Farm Community Cooperative. That cooperative works with the community and manages the volunteers, does education and research. And so the farm itself is a working farm, but also invites people to come in and learn about agriculture, see if agriculture is something that they are personally interested in continuing to do over time. And it helps people to kind of understand what the commitment is and what the jobs related to agriculture can be and whether or not they feel that that's suited for them as well. So it's an on-ramp that allows people to learn about agriculture as a profession.
While Farmship is a new venture, the land they work has been farmed by Isabel's family for generations.
We're located in Yellow Point, at the end of Dual Road. The property owners are Windlow Farms Limited. It's my father-in-law and his twin brother own the farm. My husband is the third generation, so we're the third generation on the farm. And we decided to go for something like this. We're leasing 9 acres off of 120 acres that's owned by the family. We grew over 55 varieties last summer of different, mostly vegetables.
Crop diversification is one secret to their success. Another is active use of online media.
We use a lot of social media to get the word out, to let people know what's available, what's up. We have an email list that we send out to restaurants weekly, like an availability list, to let people know what we have available, what they can purchase.
And we're just working on our website, so that's going to be also an avenue. We're hoping that the website will be a means to bring volunteers, spread the word of mouth, push a little more the social media. But we may also have, we don't know if it's going to happen this year or not, but have an online store where people can place their order directly online.
A big part of maintaining a connection with their customers still comes through face-to-face contact. Providing opportunities to come together, celebrate, and share the harvest also creates chances to explore new possibilities.
One thing I liked that we did last year was on the December solstice, we pretty well occupied a restaurant downtown, the Café Bistro. And so we provided all the ingredients and worked with other farmers to provide ingredients that we didn't have. And to the chefs, and they cooked up the meal for the December 21st dinner. And, you know, we sold tickets. We had over 100 people come to that event. And it was a great celebration of how the year went. And I think that's something we're looking at doing over again, like for... We had considered it for the equinox and the other solstices as well. It's just one way to gather people together to celebrate the food that we're growing.
Farmship Growers Cooperative practices organic cultivation methods, but like many farms, they haven't sought official certification yet, but they are firm believers in the organic food movement.
Yeah, we all agree that to be certified is the way to go, and that certified farmers have sort of have brought the organic movement forward. They've been at the forward front of that wave. And, you know, we're not certified for a variety of reasons, but it is our intention to become certified because we want to make sure that certification process still carries a lot of weight, and we want to kind of expand that.
Farmship's future is bright, though the exact shape the co-op takes remains to be seen.
So our farm is an example of a group of us and a younger group, a generation or two before the owners of the farm. We're repurposing the land. We're turning it from growing hay and corn into growing a dynamic organic vegetable garden, a food forest, a permaculture food forest. That's my vision.
So we still need to find that balance at Farmship. How big do we want to grow, and where is our financial, where does that balance finds itself there?
Volunteers are an important part of keeping the farm running, but it's a two-way street for people of all ages and skill levels.
You don't need to be super skilled or have any degrees in agriculture to be able to help with the production. And that way they can learn how things are being grown, and, you know, hopefully they turn a bit of their lawn into a garden the following year and are able to produce a bit more of their own food themselves, or participate more into the cooperative and have a bit more that way. So we've had also some families too with low income would come with their children to work on the farm. It's a nice social event. It's a great learning for the children. Get some fresh air and participate in farming that way. And at the same time, teach the children that that's where your food comes from.
You're listening to CKGI Gabriola Co-op Radio, 98.7 FM, and on the web at ckgi.ca. Market season hasn't kicked off yet, but there's still some events to watch for. You can check those out online at farmerstable.ca. And now, the last word.
I love the farmer's market. The farmer's stands side by side, stacked with fresh picked veg, freshly baked bread, locally raised meats, and everything else local under the sun. I love everything about the market. Well, not everything, I suppose. I don't love the lineups. I don't love that if I get there 2 minutes after opening, that all the tomatoes are gone, leaving me little but a bag of lettuce from the vendor at the end, and a bunch of kale that they found underneath the counter. But I'll still take it, happily, because it's better than consuming something they picked in California 2 weeks ago. So you can imagine my disappointment when the last stall at the last farmer's market packs up on October 31st, and I'm faced with the grim reality of a trip to the grocer for the first time in months. It's a sad thing, all those aisles filled with produce from Mexico, when I'm used to so much better. So I wonder, why aren't there more markets? There ought to be, if the people are asking for it. There ought to be enough to ensure that there's no such thing as a limited supply of the good stuff. Enough to ensure that everybody can have their fill. Though, I suppose, there are only so many parking lots willing to sacrifice their prime real estate once a week for the sake of my grocery list. And anyway, if we're going to have more markets, then we need more farmers. And it seems like that's a simple thing. There are more people that want to farm, so there should be more farmers, right? Except land is in limited supply. And the city doesn't have so much as an agricultural suggestion, let alone an agricultural plan. So while it's possible to grow our own food, farming is likely limited to those few remaining properties still in the ALR. And on average, farmers only make about 20 grand a year. When we pay our lawyers hundreds of dollars per hour and our CEOs millions more, it's no wonder that nobody wants to go into farming when we can barely spare a dime to reward them for their time and effort. So while it seems like what I'm asking for is simply for the market to supply demand, it's actually a lot more, and it's not really fair. Not unless we're willing to pony up and pay the piper. Because right now, we're not. On average, we only manage to spend a measly 10% of our disposable income on food. That's the lowest of any nation in the world besides the US. So maybe, instead of spending cash on that tchotchke for our mantelpiece, or those designer jeans, let's redirect an extra percent or two of our bank to the people baking our bread. I'm sure if we do that, in no time, we'll find more farms, more farmers, and a better food system for everyone. Until then, I guess I'll just get to the market early. Or get in line, just like everyone else.
Farmers' markets are on the upswing, and there's no shortage of customers willing to visit them. One of the biggest challenges is ensuring that there are enough farmers working to supply them. Another is keeping markets running as viable businesses. With the support of the BC Association of Farmers Markets, market managers and vendors have access to information and resources that will keep our market communities strong. Thanks for joining us at the Farmers Table on CKGI Gabriola Co-op Radio, 98.7 FM, and on the web at ckgi.ca. You'll find more stories, links to farmers markets and the people we've spoken with today, and more online at farmerstable.ca.